This is an MUT Radio podcast.
For sure, right here on MUT Radio, Shape and Own the Future. We do have a lovely lady with us this morning in studio, Umam Olile Ngubane, who will be here speaking to us a little bit more about Africa devoid of unemployment.
Yeah, so Umam Xolile, just real quickly, Ukuthi ungubani, as an acting director there, technology station and chemicals right here at MUT, and at Mangosuthu University of Technology in Durban, South Africa. This unit provides support to small, medium and micro enterprises, SMMEs, in chemical and related sectors. So Umam Xolile holds an MBA 2017 obtained at UKZN and a Masters of Science in Chemistry, which was obtained in 2006 at UKZN, and is a certified in Project and Operations Management with over 20 years' experience in SMME support through knowledge and technology transfer. She is currently registered for a PhD in Entrepreneurship at the Northwest University Business School, and I guess she's been the former HOD in Analytical Chemistry and a lecturer right here at Mangosuthu University of Technology. She's also an entrepreneur, having managed her own project management company. Sanbona manjani.
Sanbonani, siyaphila. Ngiyabonga kakhulu for that nice intro. Kuvukubangene breakfast room. Ngiyabonga kakhulu.
Siyabonga.
Mhlambe nje, as the first question, we know that we are in Africa Month, and the theme for Mangosuthu University of Technology is the Africa we want. And I'd just like Mhlambe to ask Umaugutige, when you think of the Africa that you want or that you see, what do you see, Ma?
The Africa that I would like to see is the one where we have thriving businesses.
Yeah.
Is the one where everyone is employed. Is the one where we have people with the right kind of skills. Where we will not be talking about a mismatch between the available skills and the demand for the jobs. Now, the current South Africa, I would also change it and get a South Africa where we have young people that are not just looking forward to having a good life, but who are also looking forward to have a better earth, a better planet, who are looking at changing the attitudes, look at the environment differently, and actually take the attitude of saying we have received this environment from our parents and we need to hand it over to our own kids. And we need to make it a point that by the time we hand it over to our kids, it's a better environment.
Yeah.
That's the kind of Africa I want to see, where we change attitudes towards the way we do things, the way we consume, and also the way we dispose of the things that we have used, such that we can really make sure that we hand over the baton. And the baton that we're handing over is an even better one. That's the kind of Africa I would love to see. An Africa that is economically independent and does not have to rely on aid from the West to survive. The Africa that uses its own resources, use it so in a way that is very sustainable. That's what I would love to see.
That is very beautiful.
It is.
That's very beautiful, man. That, I think that's definitely the Africa that we all want. Now, you are the acting director, Lapana, at the Technology Station and Chemicals, and you also deal with SMMEs. You're also very experienced when it comes to entrepreneurship as well and project management. Maybe if you could please share, like, with us specific support services that the unit provides to SMMEs in the chemical and related sectors.
Okay. Basically, what we do, we first and foremost provide technological support. And what we also do to make sure, when I say technological support, I'm looking at things like a product development. One of the things that our government was able to realize quite early in the days is that if we want people to engage in technologically meaningful areas, we need to go into provide support. Why so? Because if you want to do something like, let's say, manufacturing chemicals, there are issues with handling chemicals, which will require you to have knowledge and understanding in terms of how best to handle chemicals, how to make sure that you are in an environment that is safe and conducive for ensuring that you get the right quality of product, you get the right quantity, but also you do not harm the environment. So the kind of support that we provide is around those areas. We know that with the high unemployment rate that we have, we end up actually singing the song of saying, get into entrepreneurship. But more often than not, we don't really assist people in terms of understanding the how do I do it? Where do I find help? Who can assist me? So centers like ours, the Technology Station in Chemicals, is a center focusing on assisting those specifically wanting to get into the chemical industry. And also understanding that the chemical industry is relatively wide as it encompasses also other areas. So what do we do first and foremost? We provide information. We actually went into this program during the early days. We made assumptions that people will come here knowing what they want to do. It's a simple matter of saying, give us your project brief, tell us what you want to do.
Yeah.
We will assist you. But over the years, we realized that information is also key. Information is important. Someone will want to come in wanting to do something which we regard as a simple process of manufacturing detergents. But we then began to understand that some people actually came here because they are really entrepreneurial. We have clients who come here and develop some amazing products from the ideas that they give us to say, this is what we want to do. This is what we want to introduce in the market. So we have that sector of people. They have the information. They have studied. Even some of our clients are former students of MUT. But then again, we are within communities, so we will be having people who will be saying, I know I've identified an opportunity, a market in this sector, but I'm not sure how to begin. Where do I start? What information do I need? So one of the things that we do is to provide information and provide training. So that when you say you are venturing into this sector, you want to do cosmetic products, you need to know, okay, what is required? You need to know what quality assurance measures you need to take. You also need to know where to get your products, and once you've got them, how to store your raw materials and how to store your finished products. So now once you've done that, the other challenge that we then experienced was that a person now will get a job, but the person is working from home. So they do not have the right kind of equipment to do what they need to do. So we also do have infrastructure support that we provide through the Technology Station in Chemicals to make sure that you not only that you get the right quality, but you have the right quantity. And I'm sure you do know and you are aware that one of the critics leveled against SMMEs is that they say they don't deliver on time. At times, if they do deliver on time, they don't deliver the right quality. So so now part of what we do is that to provide a center where they can come in, decide what they want to do, play around with ideas. I'm not saying playing as in playing, but just such, to a point where you get it right. But
trial
also be able to upscale, you know, because these things happen in the kitchen as people like mainly women, but also men who are interested in cooking can relate to this.
Yeah.
If you are trying something out on a small scale, it might come out okay. But then then you tell people that I can cook. And then they say, cook for a party. Then things go, you know, they go south. So the same thing happens with chemical manufacturing.
So
the fact that you've done it on a small scale does not guarantee that it will come out okay on a larger scale.
That is beautiful. I'm not sure if you have maybe a flagship that you'd like to share with us, Lapayanago Technology Station and Chemicals, and some flagship projects that you see. You go to this one is doing very well and that you assisted in this in this way.
Actually, I will just well, there are quite a number, but I'll just mention the first one. I will mention is that where we have our former students. We had students that joined us for internship, and then because when we get students for internship, we involve them in what we do. So then they actually realize that there is an opportunity. So they went out, worked in industry, and then when those contracts came to an end, they actually came back and they said, no, when we were here, we realized that there is value. There's something that we can do. Then they started their own businesses. Actually, what is even nice with these two gentlemen is that they started doing detergents. But then they realized that, no, we have BTECs in chemistry. So we can do more. We can go do lab-related kind of things.
Oh,
so
yes.
They went into extraction. Now they're doing a lot of work that involves the kind of things that they learned here. And they are sustainable. They've got a business. If it wasn't for COVID, we'll be running a very sustainable business with those two gentlemen who actually graduated here from MUT. But during COVID, they had to relocate because of the challenges that we're having.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That kind of put them on a back foot.
On a back foot,
but
yeah.
We actually have people who have come out of here. That is from those who are going into your high-end technology.
Yes.
But I can also give you a flagship on the low-end technology. We realize that KZN is a province, one of the poorest provinces.
Yeah.
Where we know that in KZN, because of the inequality in South Africa, you have those who have it and have not. So it becomes an irony that most of the time, KZN is number three in terms of the GDP in the country.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's number three. It's among
the poorest
provinces.
Yeah.
So that gives you an idea in terms of something
inequality.
Is not right, something does not add up. So when they say you are the most unequal country in the world, we can see it in our province in a way.
Yeah.
So on the lower end, we also realize that we are not attracting people who are at home doing basically nothing, who have matric, who have maths and science, because we drive people into maths and science, but things end up not working well.
Yeah.
So what we then did, we actually partnered with the Department of Economic Development, and then we looked for a community which at the time was described as one of the poorest nodes, which is the Inanda area, Inanda, Duzu, Magwamash.
Oh, yes.
So through that project, we were able to identify a number of entrepreneurs. That was in 2015, we concluded it around 2017. But we are proud of that project because we went in blind, I would say that, into a community. And we said, are you interested in doing something, getting employment? And actually what worked for us is that to this day, we still have people that are in the business and are actually still working, making a life out of that kind of intervention. We did not expect that all of them will get in, but we expected that those that have potential but have nowhere to go, then they could come here. So those are some of the things that we have. We even have sustainable businesses running, not only in this province, but also in the Eastern Cape.
Wow.
So we have companies that are functional. One of our companies has moved. They used to operate in Umlazi. They're now in Joburg. Not that they've moved.
Nice.
They have another branch.
They have another branch.
In Johannesburg.
Oh, yes.
So we do have people who take this opportunity and run with it. And that's what actually makes me excited about this opportunity.
Wow, that's beautiful news to hear, man. That's beautiful news to hear. I think the interview because we started to ask you, Guti, what is the Africa that you want? And you are actually showing us that you are working towards that Africa that you want to see. It's such an inspiration, man. It's really such an inspiration. Now, back on the article that you have written, Mhlambenje Mafupi, before we go into a break, because we're going to go into news, your article highlights, the ongoing economic impact of the apartheid laws in South Africa and the challenges faced by black people and Africans. Now, in your opinion, like, what are the key barriers that limit growth opportunities for these communities, particularly in terms of access to resources and education? I know you've touched on it a bit, but Mhlambe, if you could also like base it on the article that you had for us, which is Africa devoid of unemployment.
Okay. Actually, this article is actually based on the study that is also ongoing on township and rural economy, where we realize that by people coming into our townships to actually provide labor, first and foremost, we created a mindset that says you need to find employment.
Yeah.
Okay. And also then secondly, that employment is somehow defined, even though it's not written down. The employment says you need to be in the office, you need to be wearing a black tie and that kind of thing. So now And we understand that, because if you go back into that state where we were looking at the white people owning offices, so success was defined in that particular context.
Yeah.
And secondly, we don't have resources, because then the pay was never good. So you could not get the best of the education that will prepare you. So now one of the things that we are experiencing as a country is that we need to change mindset. Because now, especially in my era growing up, agriculture was a form of punishment at school. So then you will find that not many people will want, because if you are late, you go and water the garden. So it's difficult to see a job out of that. If you were... you claim to be making noise in class, your punishment is to water the garden. So there is that aspect of saying, then why would I go to agriculture? Because if you're going to agriculture, either there's something wrong or you are doing a menial job. The importance of things. If we want to be a welder, if you want to be an artisan, a professional artisan, your parents will be like, but why don't you become a teacher? Why don't you do this? And against that background, we now do not have jobs. Now we are saying to young people, go into entrepreneurship, be a plumber. You see, now someone is thinking, why will I study and then be a plumber? Because plumber is for these people. And now you find that now where then it becomes a problem. I was talking about chemicals earlier on. We need tanks. We need people who can do welding. We need people who can fabricate and build tanks and make sure that we can do things ourselves. In Africa, we take most of what we get out of the earth and we send it outside, because we don't have the skills of making something worth having, you know, from what we can actually dig from our own ground. So I'm taking it back in the South African context to those laws, that people were there, they were not paid well, education was not good. And also they were staying in an environment where you cannot say, in my backyard I want to try something, because in some instances there's no backyard. And most of the people that we start with, they start in their backyard. And if you look at entrepreneurship, it's always about starting small and growing. So there is no, for most black communities, even the issue of starting small is a challenge, because entrepreneurship is about starting, designing, and growing. And for you to grow, you need your father to give you some money. If your father does not have the money, then that becomes a problem. You need to have a spare room that your father can say, use my spare room, start your chemicals here. And then where is the spare room there? It's not there. So we're saying we have that. We need to acknowledge that for us to get out of it. If we acknowledge that, there are some mental barriers we need to go. We cannot just say to young people, go into business. What do I do? You manufacture tanks. But my friends are studying law. And my friends are doing this. I want to be this and that. So we do need to have this talk to say, the only way for us to increase employment is to look at the bottom. What do we need as a country to use our resources, and also to make sure that we can contribute to the economy? Very much.
Oh, thank you. Yes. It's lovely. So despite the efforts made by the South African government to promote and grow the SMME sector, why do you think the desired impacts have not yet been realized?
In fact, there are a number of factors.
Yes, ma'am.
First and foremost is the economic factors.
Yeah.
I've actually talked to the issue of not having sufficient resources. So one of the challenges specifically amongst black South Africans, and which will be something that could be reflected in the entire Africa, is that we do not have sufficient resources to get into business, but also to sustain the business. And as a result, that's why you find that people will be telling you that we have very high failure rates in Africa. They will be telling you, giving you statistics which are disheartening. Like they would, like the every business after 2 years, you're likely that you've lost most of the businesses that you established. Because staying in business, it's actually quite difficult. So, like I'm saying, because we don't have sufficient resources to start a business. Because if you think about it in this manner, that if I want to get into a detergent manufacturing business, for instance, I need to have equipment. I need people to assist me
yes.
in doing that particular job. And we are saying SMMEs are good for that.
Yes.
That because they will require your low end in terms of skills, okay, then it means they can get more of the people that we want to entice into employment.
Yes.
So, but then they do not have sufficient capital because you cannot have someone working for you, mm-hmm. assisting you in establishing a business and you're unable to pay them. Okay.
Sure.
So, and not only that, when you buy equipment, one of the things we spoke of earlier on is that we don't have the capacity to do our own things.
Mm.
So when you buy tanks, obviously it might even be imported. It might be even coming from another province. So that adds on your cost. Of starting a yeah. business. Okay. So now, even now, that includes yourself.
Sure.
Because one of the reasons why most of our SMMEs don't make it in business is that by the time you start a business, you're starting it on a hungry tummy.
Happy. Mm.
So it means now there's going to be competition because what goes into building the business and what goes into feeding you, and in some instances, your family.
Sure.
So having inadequate access to resources then becomes a major factor. Because it means growing your business is going to be a struggle. Mm. And then the other question that we have now is the issue of our own laws in terms of employing people. Mm. You might have this good person that you want to keep in the business, but then there are South African laws. Mm. I'm using an example, a case of South Africa. You need to do this for these people. You need to provide them with this. You need to pay UIF. You need to register for this, which is why then it becomes a policy issue and an economic issue, but also it becomes a community issue or family issues.
Mm.
Because now if you're coming from a poor family and we are saying you want to go into business, someone there needs to support you.
Yeah.
Someone Definitely. Needs to believe in your business.
Mm.
And in some instances, it's not so much that they don't believe in your business, but they don't have the means of supporting you.
Sure.
So you do need that right infrastructure. And for young people, we also say that entrepreneurship is not celebrated.
Mm.
You know, if you get into music, whatever, then it's easy for people to gather around you for that time to help you. But entrepreneurship at times, as I say, it's not attractive.
It's not attractive, definitely.
Celebrate you.
And they see you as unemployed.
They see you as unemployed.
Yes.
And we don't realize that actually entrepreneurship starts with self-employment.
Mm.
So you need to make sure that when you budget, when you do your own budget, you budget your salary as well.
Mm.
So that the first person you employ is yourself.
Sure.
Hey, that's very important.
It is extremely important.
Yeah.
You have touched on potential job creation, right, Ma?
Mm-hmm.
But just to go into that a little bit more extensively, is how can SMMEs are being labor intensive and potentially job creators contribute meaningful employment to South Africa or to South African citizens? Yeah.
For us to assist SMMEs, we really do need, there is an urgent call for government to look at how our policies and laws can create a conducive environment for our SMMEs
yes.
to make sure that they can actually provide the kind of employment they can. Because if you're looking at the sector, it's important for us to have more businesses in townships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's important for us to have more businesses in rural areas.
Mm.
And if we say that for South Africa, that becomes true for most of the countries in Africa.
Mm.
But one of the characters, if we just take Umlazi, for example, if you have an SMME that is in the city, I will say one of our cities and other towns.
Yeah.
And actually, your labor is in Umlazi. So it means for them to get there, actually, they need to take at least 2 taxis to get to there.
Sure.
Now, those people may be willing to provide you with their labor,
yes.
but it comes at a cost to them first and foremost.
Yeah.
So it means now, whatever you're paying them in Pinetown should first and foremost cover their expenses to come to you. So, but if we have it in the opposite way, when we are creating these SMMEs where people reside, then someone can actually walk to the to the place of work.
Of work, yeah.
Okay, therefore, there are minimal cost for that person.
True.
And therefore, you can afford to pay them what you can while establishing a business.
Mm.
Because you don't usually start a business with sufficient capital.
Yes.
So and yet, if you look at, say, people who have the resources, it will be, my aunt gave me an old car that they are not using for me to transport raw materials, to deliver. My uncle provided me with this. So-and-so is providing me with the financial, okay, because the law requires that now you have a PTY, you need to have an accountant, you need to do this. And you know that SARS compliance and this and that.
Yeah.
So for you to grow your business, you need that PIN. It becomes critical. But if you have someone, an accountant nearby who can assist you with that, then so we do need to talk about this, talk about entrepreneurship, make people realize that if the other one grow, I also benefit.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why we're saying SMMEs have a very good potential of getting more and more people into business by bringing in their skills at whatever level and do so at minimal cost.
Yeah.
Mm. Yo, ma. No.
I'm getting the vibe of Ubuntu, you know.
Like, yeah.
I love that.
Definitely, definitely. Ma, thank you so much for actually coming through and sharing this information with us. Lastly, just one last question, I think, which is very important also, and that you touch on in the article, the contribution of SMMEs in climate change and how the sector that you are working on actually right now, how it helps that becomes a reality.
Okay. We are actually in an era where we need to have new skills. Mm. We are in an era where we need to be trained differently. So now what we are calling for is that we have higher education institutions, you know, the post-school education and training sector.
Yes.
That sector need to play an instrumental role in assisting SMMEs to venture into these new and sometimes unknown jobs, which are aligned to having a cleaner and a better environment.
Mm.
Now, we are seeing that we have an electricity challenge. The electricity challenge is affecting all of us, and more so the SMMEs, because half the time they are not functioning.
Mm.
So now, then it means then we should be looking at what, for example, what MUT is doing right now.
Mm.
Okay, we've just launched a climate center in the Faculty of Engineering.
Yeah.
So then that becomes an opportunity for us to provide training, to talk to local communities.
Mm.
What can you do to make sure that we mitigate, okay, the impact of climate change, but also creating platforms like ours where people can be assisted to say, if I want to use less energy, what do I do?
Mm.
If I want to use chemicals that are less harmful to environment, what is it that I need to do?
Mm.
So centers like ourselves, institutions like MUT have a critical role to play. And the time is not only on the tangible science engineering aspect,
yes,
but also we need the human aspect to assist us in the changing mindset. What can I do in my own home to recycle? Because when it starts there, then you realize there's a business opportunity in recycling.
Mm.
So that's why we believe that SMMEs and entrepreneurship are key in assisting us with mitigating the impact of climate change. We need to identify those business opportunities. Then we need to provide support to communities so that then we can have a waste recycling business at MUT, encouraging students to participate, and hopefully they can replicate that in their homes, in their communities. Because classes everywhere, right?
Mm.
It does not have to be a rural area, a township, or a city. It's everywhere. What do we do with it?
Mm.
We can learn from those countries that has advanced that everything that should not go to environment, really should not go to environment.
Mm.
Why do we dispose of the things that we don't want in rural areas? You go into streams, you see something that should not be there.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Waste that should not be in a stream, because we know we depend on water for survival.
Sure.
Mm.
So those are some of the things where we need to get entrepreneurial, do educational programs, get NPOs being active in this particular space. So that's why it's my strongest belief that the force of entrepreneurship is about starting small and growing, and for government to create a conducive environment, and for institutions to play their role by providing the knowledge. As I indicate, knowledge transfer is going to be critical,
sure,
because we don't have the knowledge we need to address the issue. climate change.
So powerful.
Thank you so much, Ma, for having us and for dedicating your time to share such important information right here on the Vukubangene Breakfast Show. I really enjoyed it myself. I've learned a lot. And I think personally, I'd like to even visit the center where you operate, because really I'd like to see and actually learn more about it. So thank you so much, Ma'am Xolile, for having us, for coming through.
And thank you for having me and giving me the experience of radio live. Thank you so much. At my age.
Cool, man.
Cool, man.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.